yield ourselves to the Word, as we yield to Christ, there will be a change in our character and in ultimately in our conduct. As we have our Bibles open to 2 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul desired that same change for the Corinthian believers that he was ministering to, that they would live their lives based off of the authority of God's Word, and that they would yield to it and yield to Christ. And so he was so concerned for them, he planned to see them face to face. So if you have your Bibles open to 2 Corinthians, we're going to be reading chapter 12, verse 11 together. Through verse 21. Please read with me verse 11. I have become foolish. You yourselves compelled me. Actually, I should have been commended by you, for in no respect was I inferior to the most eminent apostles, even though I am a nobody. The signs of a true apostle were performed among you with all perseverance by signs and wonders and miracles. For in what respect were you treated as inferior to the rest of the churches, except that I myself did not become a burden to you? Forgive me this wrong. Here for this third time, I am ready to come to you, and I will not be a burden to you. For I do not seek what is yours, but you. For children are not responsible to save up for their parents, but parents for their children. I will most gladly spend and be expended for your souls. If I love you more, am I to be loved less? But be that as it may, I did not burden you myself. Nevertheless, crafty fellow that I am, I took you in by deceit. Certainly, I have not taken advantage of you through any of those whom I have sent to you, have I? I urged Titus to go, and I sent the brother with him. Titus did not take any advantage of you, did he? Did we not conduct ourselves in the same spirit and walk in the same steps? All this time, you have been thinking that we are defending ourselves to you. Actually, it is in the sight of God that we have been speaking in Christ and all for your upbuilding, beloved. For I am afraid that perhaps when I come, I may find you to be not what I wish, and may be found by you not to be what you wish, that perhaps there will be strife, jealousy, angry tempers, disputes, slanders, gossip, arrogance, disturbances. I am afraid that when I come again, my God may humiliate me before you, and I may mourn over many of those who have sinned in the past and not repented of the impurity, immorality, and sensuality which they have practiced. We remember from last week, there was this emphasis on the grace of God. The Apostle Paul had a thorn in the flesh as he ministered to the church in Corinth. And so it was that he could boast in God's grace as he would minister to this church. I want to begin our time with this thought that Paul's conduct towards the church in Corinth was always to the glory of God and for the upbuilding of the church. And so as we come to this text this morning, we're going to see three aspects of Paul's conduct that contributed to the spiritual strengthening of the church in Corinth. We're going to see those aspects of his conduct. The first aspect of his conduct that contributed to the spiritual strengthening of the church was his apostolic ministry. We see that in verses 11 through 13. You'll notice with me at the end of verse 11, the Apostle Paul says something here. He says, I am a nobody. I want us to consider that statement for a moment. The Apostle Paul had the right balance in ministry as he looked back and reflected on himself. Did the Apostle Paul at one time persecute the church of Jesus Christ? Yes, he did. At one time, he persecuted the church. And let me tell you, he could have wallowed around in that guilt. But he doesn't. He ministers out of the grace that he has received from God. I want us to turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. If you would, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 6. Through 10, we're going to see this. When Jesus Christ resurrected from the dead, he appeared to 500 witnesses. He appeared to his disciples who were with him in the upper room discourse. That is recorded for us in John's Gospel. And he appeared to the Apostle Paul. And he says, he refers to himself as the least of all apostles. First 1 Corinthians chapter 15, let's pick it up in verse 6 there. It says, after that he appeared to more than 500 brethren at one time, Jesus did, most of whom remain until now, but some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James and to all the apostles, and last of all, as to the one untimely born, he appeared to me also. For I am the least of the apostles and not fit to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. He could have stopped there, right? But he doesn't. He continues, but this is a but by the grace of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And by his grace toward me, I did not prove vain, but I labored even more than all of them. Yet not I, but the grace of God with me. If the Apostle Paul could boast in anything as he ministered to this church in Corinth, he could boast in one thing, and it was the grace that God had provided with him in the ministry. And so we come back to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 11, and he says, I should have been commended by you, for in no respect was I inferior to the most eminent apostles. What Paul is doing here is he is simply validating his ministry as an apostle. And so the question naturally follows, as we've looked at verse 11 in the context of that verse and in this discussion that he is having with this church in Corinth, the question is this: shouldn't the Corinthian believers have validated the Apostle Paul's ministry? Should they have stood behind him? Should they have supported him in the ministry? I think the answer is yes. Why? Look with me at verse 12. It says, the signs of a true apostle were performed among you with all perseverance by signs and wonders and miracles. They saw these sign gifts that the apostles had, and they saw that in the Apostle Paul as well. And those sign gifts were given to the apostles to validate their ministry, to spread the gospel out at the foundation of the church. And one of those sign gifts was the ability to speak in tongues. Throughout the scripture, there were those who would speak in tongues. And when you track that sign gift that the apostles had to speak in tongues, that was a known language. In Acts chapter 2, for instance, believers were given that ability to speak in tongues. That happened on the day of Pentecost, and they would speak in tongues to some devout Jews who heard them. And it says in Acts chapter 2 that they were amazed. Chapter 2, verse 6, the crowd came together and were bewildered because each one of them was hearing them speak in his own language. This was one of those sign gifts. That was one of the sign gifts that the Apostle Paul had. And it may have been that these had heard the Apostle Paul speak in tongues. J. Vernon McGee made a great point. He stated that Paul had gone through the Galatian country, and there must have been about 50 dialects and languages in that area. Paul could speak them all. Had he studied them? No. In that early day, it was necessary to get the word of God out into the Roman Empire in a hurry. And so these apostles were equipped with these gifts. So the Apostle Paul is validating his apostolic ministry of one who is in the ministry. He says, you should have validated my ministry that I had to you. He says, you were witnesses of these things in verses 11 and 12. Then he says in verse 13, for in what respect were you treated as inferior to the rest of the churches, except that I myself did not become a burden to you? Forgive me this wrong. So the Corinthian church really struggled in their thinking. They were twisting some things around in their own minds concerning the Apostle Paul and his ministry to them. And that brings us to our second aspect of conduct this morning. That second aspect is his agenda in the ministry. We see his agenda in the ministry. If you would look with me at verse 14. It says here, here for this third time I am ready to come to you, and I will not be a burden to you, for I do not seek what is yours. But you, for children, are not responsible to save up for their parents, but parents for their children. I will most gladly spend and be expended for your souls. If I love you more, am I to be loved less? The Apostle Paul had the joy of walking into the city of Corinth. And when he went into that city to share the gospel, he went there bold, right? No, he went in there fearful. He was trembling as he went to the Corinthians, believing that God would give him the strength that he would need. And he shared the gospel with the Corinthians. And there were those in that city who came to faith in Jesus Christ through the ministry of the Apostle Paul. And that was why he was able to say that he was a spiritual father to them. And in that sense, he was. I remember I've got three kids. My oldest will be turning 6 in December. That went fast. And we've got our second oldest. She's 4. And then our son is 3 years old. And I remember when they were born, I remember holding my children for the very first time. There is this infinite amount of love that exists between a parent and a child. Some of you know about that, right? We've had some younger families have some children this past year, and there is that love that exists. Aren't children a miracle from the Lord? They are. How much more of a miracle is it when someone who is enslaved to Satan, to sin, to death, is being worked on by God the Father, God the Son, the Holy Spirit, drawing them to salvation? They would hear the gospel and trust in Jesus Christ to save them from their sin. How much more of a miracle when someone who is lost comes to faith in Jesus Christ? That's amazing. And so the Apostle Paul considered that. He considered these believers who were in the church in Corinth, and he tells them, listen, I love you guys. I love you. No matter what it is you might think of me, I love you. I care about you. I have not wronged you at all. So his agenda to them was not to scam them. Look with me at verse 15. He says, I will most gladly spend and be expended for their souls. That word expended carries with it the idea that Paul would sacrifice his life for their agenda. Talk about an agenda that reflected his conduct towards them. I believe the Apostle Paul had a true pastoral heart here. He was concerned for, he cared for the people of God in Corinth. Even when that same kind of love was not reciprocated back to him, he was able to minister to them and to address some of the things that he was able to address. But the Corinthians, they thought that he was scamming them. They thought that the Apostle Paul was sending men to him to try to get some kind of payment out of them. Look with me at verses 17 and 18. The Apostle Paul says, certainly I have not taken advantage of you through any of those whom I have sent to you, have I? I urged Titus to go, and I sent the brother with him. Titus did not take any advantage of you, did he? Did we not conduct ourselves in the same spirit and walk in the same steps? So while asking these questions, there is an intended answer to them. And the bottom line is this, that these Corinthians, the Corinthian believers here, they were thinking things about the Apostle Paul that were so far from the truth, they should have been ashamed of themselves. Their accusations that they had against the Apostle Paul were so far-fetched, they were so out there, so far from the truth, that not only were they hurting the Apostle Paul and his ministry that Christ had for him to do, but they were also hurting themselves in their own self-delusion by believing some of the things that those false teachers and false preachers were saying about the Apostle Paul. I believe this. I believe it was wise for the Apostle Paul to have had other ministries support him as he ministered to the Church of Corinth. Warren Wiersbe said this, the only trick Paul had played on them was his refusal to receive financial support. In this, he disarmed them so that they could never accuse him of being interested only in money. I'd like us to look at verse 19. Verse 19 is a critical verse as we look at this section here. He says, all this time you have been thinking that we are actually defending ourselves to you. Actually, it is in the sight of God that we have been speaking in Christ and all for your upbuilding, beloved. The conduct of the Apostle Paul as he ministered to this church, even though it was his conduct that was called into question, was that he was able to say, listen, my conduct was for your edification. And that's amazing. I believe this. that ministry that he had to them in verse 19, as we look at that, that it was powerful as he was able to say these words. It is in the sight of God that we have been speaking in Christ. That is amazing. There is a powerful truth there for us to consider. He was able to say, listen, I have ministered to you with a clear conscience. It was in the sight of God that I was able to minister to you. And there's something there for us as well. There's a truth there for us. Are we able to say that our conduct is for the edification of others? And in what we do throughout the week, that we're thinking about others and how they might be impacted by that. The Apostle Paul was able to say, listen, my conduct was blameless. It was in the sight of God that I was able to minister to you in the way that I did. It was so powerful because of that. His ministry was effective because it was under a fleshly demonic attack, because he was in good conscience able to say that God was his witness. I knew of a faithful lady who served the Lord to the best of her ability, and she would say that when you step out and you serve the Lord in any capacity, you will have your critics. You're going to have those who have their opinions of you. And that's okay. Who do we labor for? Who do we serve? Who do we minister to? Christ. And so I'm looking forward to that day when Christ looks at me to hear those words, well done, good and faithful servant. We all ought to look forward to that day. Will he say that? Well done, good and faithful servant. These words take on a whole new meaning, 1 Corinthians 15:58, in light of that as we serve, we're doing it before the Lord. He says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord. The Apostle Paul was able to say, listen, I have my focus on Christ as I'm laboring, as I'm toiling in the ministry. That's amazing. Which brings us to our third aspect of conduct, and that was his analysis of their ministry. His analysis of their ministry. We see that in verses 20 and 21. His analysis of their ministry. The Apostle Paul says something interesting here in verse 20. He says, for I am afraid that perhaps when I come, I may find you to be not what I wish. It may be found by you to be not what you wish. Now, Paul had some major concern for this church as a whole. His concern was not only in how it was that he would find them to be, but he was also concerned for themselves and how it was that they would find themselves to be in relation to each other as a local church. He says here, I am afraid, that phrase, I am afraid, three times in 2 Corinthians. The first time he uses it is in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3, where he says this, but I am afraid that as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, your minds will be led astray from the simplicity and the purity of devotion to Christ. And Paul uses it again a second time in this verse, in verse 20, where he expresses his apprehension in that he might find the Corinthian church to be in sin as they relate to each other. And then he uses it again in verse 21, where he expresses his apprehension in that he might find them to be still involved in immoral behavior, as there were those who were involved in sin that they had yet to repent of. You know, a picture I think will help us here to understand this. At that moment of salvation, when we place our faith in Jesus Christ, we are given a relationship to God through Christ. There is this vertical relationship that exists because of Jesus Christ. And also there is this horizontal relationship that we have to other believers. And if we allow unconfessed sin to go on in our vertical relationship, that's going to impact our horizontal relationships. And so that was why the Apostle Paul was afraid for them that when he would see them again, he would find them to be involved in things that they should not have been involved in as a church, and how it was that they would relate to each other. And so what he does is he addresses here in this text eight issues that he brings up. And so we want to look at these eight issues. The first issue that he brought up was strife. That first issue that he brought up was strife. And the meaning there is to be engaged in rivalry. I remember this is often the case with siblings. I've got a younger brother, 2 years younger than me. And I remember being engaged in rivalry with them at different times. I can remember growing up, I would try to one-up him, right? And I think maybe he'd be able to say the same about me. But that ought not to be the case in the body of Christ, that we would try to one-up each other. The Apostle Paul was concerned for the Corinthian church as he looked to them, that he would find strife there. Then he mentions that second issue. He says that I'm afraid that I might find jealousy amongst you. And that word for jealousy carries with it this idea that I have a negative feeling over someone else's success. One temptation for many churches is to become internally focused, where people begin to compare themselves within the body of Christ. And the Apostle Paul said that ought not to be the case. He knew that this was a wealthy church. The church of Corinth was wealthy, had a lot of money, and as a result, there was always a possibility that they would have that they would be looking internally more than they would be looking outward. That they would be looking to each other rather than to those around them and how they might minister to those around them. And so he's afraid that he would find jealousy. And then he says, I'm afraid that I will find angry tempers. And that word for angry tempers means to be in a state of intense displeasure. I just think of this church, the church of Corinth. They were content to sit under teaching and preaching that comes from false teachers, from apostles, and from preachers whose aim was to get away from the Word of God. That was their aim. And not only that, but it was to discredit the Apostle Paul and his ministry that he had. And when you see a church start to drift in that sense away from the Word of God, it's headed for disaster. He was afraid of that. He was afraid for them. He was afraid that they might find not only angry tempers, but disputes, which means to have an outbreak of selfishness, where we're only concerned for ourselves in every way. Then he goes on that fifth and the sixth issue. The fifth issue is slanders. The sixth is gossip. Slander and gossip seem similar. The difference between them is that slander is done to speak ill of another, whereas gossip speaks ill of another behind someone's back without them knowing it and not knowing whether or not it's true. And let me just say this. If that word ever gets back around to someone that you've been speaking about them behind their back, boy, that can spoil a relationship in a heartbeat. We ought to be about preserving unity. And the Apostle Paul was looking to that. He was afraid that he would find disputes, that he would find slander and gossip. And then he goes on, he says, I'm afraid I'll find arrogance as well. That I'll find arrogance amongst you, which simply carries with it the idea that there would be pride there. And that pride stems ultimately from these disturbances. Disturbances carries with it that idea to be opposed to established authority. You know, when we get away from God's word and we say, listen, I've got the answers, pride is what motivates that. And it is out of all of these issues that the Apostle Paul addresses, all of those issues stem back to pride and ultimately stem back to how it is that we would take in the Word of God. And so he's concerned for them. And then in verse 21, he says, I am afraid that when I come again, my God may humiliate me before you, and I may mourn over many of those who have sinned in the past and not repented of the impurity, immorality, and sensuality which they have practiced. It's really sad that the Apostle Paul had to go here. But there were those in this church that had not repented of sin that they had been involved in. And so he was concerned for them. He He was concerned about their vertical relationship, that they had not repented of that. And ultimately, he was afraid that if they would go on without that repenting of that sin, that they would fall under divine discipline. And that grieved the Apostle Paul. It grieved him. We're going to see that next week. So what did Paul do in light of what he expected to find? And as it was that he had to elaborate off of his conduct as he ministered to this church, what did he do? He persevered to the glory of God for the edification of the church. He persevered to the glory of God for the edification of that church. So as we conclude this morning, I want to challenge us to consider our earthly conduct through these specs. And maybe this will be a blessing to you. Is there a sin to forsake, a promise to claim, an example to follow, a command to obey, or a stumbling block to avoid? I want to leave us with this thought. May it be true of us this week that we would live in such a way that our conduct throughout the week reflects the glory of God for the edification of others. Here it is. The Apostle Paul had all of these attacks coming at him, and he was able to say, God was my witness. I served him with a clear conscience. May that be true of us in this week to come. Or maybe as you're here today and you have never trusted in Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I want you to know that God has offered a free gift to you today. And if you've been putting that off, we would like to ask that you would place your faith in Him. The Scripture shows us, God's truth shows us in the Word that there is nothing that we can do to make ourselves right with God. Absolutely nothing. That was why Christ had to come. He came to this earth. He died on the cross. He resurrected from the dead, and He had to in order to impart resurrection life. And for those who come to faith in Jesus Christ, who trust wholly in Him to save them from their sin, they will be saved from that sin. Let's go, Lord, in a word of prayer as we close. Heavenly Father, we want to thank You for this day. We want to thank You for Your love for us and for this challenge before us to consider our own conduct throughout the week and how it is that we would minister to those around us. Father, those within the church and then those outside of it, Lord, I pray that others would be able to look at our lives and be able to say that we have a Savior, that we are serving somebody, and that somebody is not ourselves, Lord, but You. I pray that that would be true of us, that others would be able to notice that. We want to thank You for this day now. In Your name we pray. Amen.